We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105 Through the Fan, awaiting the Brian Schottenheimer press conference out in Oxnard before we get rolling into the game tomorrow night. By the way, the game will be held right here on 105 Through the Fan. You're going to be part of this thing. They're going to visit live from DeMarco Farr, the radio play-by-play for the Rams. They're also Brad and Zach are going to pretty normal third hour of the pregame on Saturday as well. Kickoffs at 6:07, Brad Sham, Babe Loffenberg, Christy Scales, and you're going to have the pre- and post-game show with Zach and Brian Broaddus as well, which, by the way, if you want great information when it comes to what you're seeing on the field, what you're going to see on the field, Zach and Brian do a phenomenal job. I've always loved their pre- and post-game show, so be ready for that one as well. So get ready for it. It's going to be tomorrow night right here, and it'll be at SoFi.
Or Chief on the pregame, too.
Yeah, Chief. Oh, yeah, that look, my note's right there. Right there, it says Eric Chiafalo on the
you
pregame.
You need some glasses today, or what are we thinking?
This is one of those. It's Friday. Yeah. It's Take a Load Off Friday, you know, and on Take a Load Off Friday, what ends up happening.
Those reads are your world today, aren't they?
Yeah. This is my world.
By the way, real quick, because we, you know, we got some differing opinions from folks texting in. I was with from the 817. I was with the woman who said her kids were her world. Didn't go well.
Oh,
I did it. Look, don't shoot the messenger, people. I say the things that people are afraid to say.
You
all
do,
right?
You do, and that's the that's the thing that we like to hear from you is the things that people don't are afraid
some
to say.
Some dude sitting there right now thinking to himself, I know exactly what Fred's talking about.
Looks like Joe Mazzulla signed another a multi-year extension with the Boston Celtics.
He's a sociopath.
He definitely is.
I love it.
It's either he is a sociopath or he is faking it. But hopefully Brian Schottenheimer is not faking it. We head out to Oxnard now.
Dalvin?
Morning.
Morning.
See Michael Parsons getting some rehab work. How is that progressing?
Yeah, I got some work done on his back yesterday. I think it's going good. He was doing some of the stuff in the mock last night, so it's always good to see him moving around. But I think it's going well.
To possibly practicing with you guys?
Again, still one of those things day to day. You just kind of keep an eye on it. And again, he's doing all the things that we need him to do.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. What's your philosophy on starters in the preseason? Do you have one? And how does you plan to implement what you plan to do with your starters?
Yeah, I think I do have a philosophy, number one. And, you know, it's a philosophy kind of that I've generated over the years. I obviously reserve the right to change my mind if I want to, based on how we're doing out here in practice against ourselves and things like that. But, you know, I'll be general in what I say. But, you know, there's a handful of guys that won't play, you know. But there's really, when you look at it, you have a target set of numbers that you want to get throughout the preseason. So maybe the number is 40 for a player. So maybe that's 10 to 15 plays tomorrow, another 25 or whatever against, you know, Baltimore, and then you decide the third game. Our players are aware of kind of where they are going into this game. I'm not going to get into all the specifics because it'd take me forever. It'd be the only question I answer. But the philosophy is, again, there's certain guys that we feel like, hey, you know what, we don't need to see them play in this first game, but that could certainly change going into the next game.
You know, Dak hasn't played the preseason since 2019, I believe, and I don't know. Certainly he hasn't missed the last nine games last year. Is the Rams practice in stuff you do, teamwork here, enough to get him ready for Eagles?
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, we're getting some great work, and the Rams thing was great for us just because, you know, when you look at it, Clarence, it's like, you know, the pass rush was different. It was intense. You know, we had a great practice yesterday, very physical, which you guys know from being out here. I was very, really proud of that. But, like, yeah, Dak's a guy that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's seen a lot of football. He's played a lot of football. I will step back and laugh for a second. So my old man, he had a philosophy that in the preseason, everybody plays. So story goes, fourth preseason game, LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, MVP of the league. Hey, LT's playing. And the coaches are like, are you sure? He goes, oh, yeah, he's playing. So then he went to Cam Cameron. He goes, here's the deal. Call pass where he's free releasing. And then he goes to Drew Brees and says, whatever you do, do not throw the ball to 21. So he ran a swing route to our – I'll never forget it. He ran a swing route to our bench, okay, Drew threw the ball somewhere else, and LT just kept running over to the sideline, took his helmet off, and sat down. But he played. So I'm like, that's another way to do it, you know. But I always remember thinking, interesting. So everybody plays, but it was like under no circumstance you throw the ball to that guy. Because I think, you know, it's just, you know, these guys that know how to play the game, they know how to play the game.
One quick question. Numbers at running back. Certainly, can you give us an update on Blue, Deuce? I mean, it seemed like you're going to be challenged on Saturday.
Yeah, again, I'll get some more information when I go in there. We're a little bit challenged. We got some good backup plans organized. We got some athletes that you guys might see toting the rock a little bit. And we'll do some fun things with those guys. Hey, we might have to just go all five wides and getting empty and sling it around a little bit. You know what I mean? That's old football back. You know, I used to do that, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend with my family, just getting empty and spread it out. Again, I'll get more information about the injury, guys. But we're a little thin at that spot, but that opens up opportunities for other guys. And, again, you guys know I'm big into cross training, and hopefully we stay pretty healthy in this game.
I'm Brian Todd Archer of the ESPN. Cooper Rush was a reliable backup for years here up behind Dak. Joe's untested. How important are these preseason games for him to, not only for himself, but for you guys to have complete faith that he can do it if needed?
Yeah, well, I think we have faith in Joe already. I think that's the first thing I would say, Todd. But it's incredibly important. You're talking about a guy that hasn't played a whole lot of football, not just in the National Football League, in college, you know. I mean, some of these guys coming out of college, they've got 5-6 years worth of starts, and every rep that Joe gets is critical. So he'll play a ton of football, and, you know, he's going to do some great things. He's going to make some mistakes. That's part of preseason football. Shit, I'll make some mistakes. You know, I mean, being a first-time head coach, and that's why we do preseason. And but the reps are important for him, just because every chance he gets to stand back there and have to, what I say, drive the car, which is the move of the offense and things like that, he's learning. And he's learning on the run. And I think he's as excited as anybody to go out there and compete.
And then with Rebel, where is he in his recovery, return, rehab?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, had a little swelling, what was it, a week, 10 days ago, but I think, you know, he's doing really good now. And again, I'm not going to put a timeline on him, but I think he's back to where we kind of want him to be. And the thing that's been fun for me, and I think DA talked about this the other day, is kind of watching, you know, how Trayvon's really been kind of leaning into Vaughn and kind of helping him. And even in all the things that we do, he's a guy that really understands that, okay, I'm not getting the physical reps, but there's things that I can be learning and I can be watching and I can be mirroring. That's what you call it. You mirror. I stand behind a guy that's taking the live reps and things like that. And he's really bought into that. So, quick story, Joe Horn, obviously great receiver, played for us in Kansas City. He was a guy that was the first guy I ever saw do it. And so he would literally stand about 15 yards behind the offensive play. And so if the receiver, J.J. Bird and Derek Alexander, whoever was running the route, he'd be like 15 yards. He'd go in motion, like behind everything. And he was just stacking reps because Joe was more of a rep learner. And I'm not saying Vaughn's that. I'm just saying the next thing you know, Joe takes off. He goes to New Orleans. He gets a huge contract. He becomes a Pro Bowl receiver. So the power of mental reps, I think, doesn't go unnoticed on me, because I've seen guys like Joe Horn maximize those and turn those into really, you know, career-defining changes.
It seems like we saw Milton do a little bit of that early in camp.
He does. Yeah, Joe does that at times as well. Yep.
John Schroeder with The Athletic. Coach Shimko was telling us the other day about how, you know, when you're Dak and you're going into year 10, there's really not much a defense can throw at you you haven't seen before. But with Joe, you know, he still needs to see all these different things. But he said, like, if he doesn't see something, and maybe doesn't hit on it, when he sees it again, he's been right on it. How have you kind of seen him grow from those perspectives?
Number one, Joe loves to be coached. He's really very competitive. You see, no one has more fun at practice than Joe, and it's not just the backflips. It's just he loves competing, and, you know, when he makes a big throw, you know, he'll have his swag walk going and things like that. He just loves it. He loves to be out there. But I would totally agree with what Shimmy said. I mean, I think, you know, there's things that he, you know, hasn't seen and he might miss. And there's some blitz looks from the scrimmage the other day that kind of caught him off guard that, you know, he was like, oh. But then when he sees him on video, he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Remember, this is all brand new for him. You know, this is a protection system that's been in place for the most part for the past, you know, 3 years. And Joe's one of the new guys with it. And I think, you know, what's going to be really good for us is just watching him throughout the preseason, you know, adjust to different blitz looks and that we see from, you know, the Rams and Baltimore and Atlanta. And but he does. He grasps things really well. And when you watch him, if you could see him in the film room or making the notes and talking about it, I mean, he is dialed in. Like, his eyes do not – I don't think he blinks. He literally stares, like, because he's taking it all in. And he competes in the classroom just like he does on the field.
And Dak said that you mentioned you Lazard threw the ball that like that? Can you think of any other quarterbacks that you've seen that have thrown a ball that remind you of anything of Joe Mellon?
I really can't, that I've been around. Because if you're not out there, like, you know, I've seen guys, of course, throw it, you know, on TV. But if you're not out there, like, when I was in New York, Brett Favre, he was, what, 40? And his elbow was bothering him a little bit. So we wanted to go inside and because his arm was bothering him. So he went to Coach Mangini and said, hey, you know, Eric, do you mind if we go inside? And Eric's like, yeah, we'll go inside, but I want you to let it rip today. And he kind of looked at him. He's like, oh, you want me to let it rip today? He's like, yeah, I want you to let it rip today. And to this day is maybe one of the greatest practices. I have the tape somewhere, beta cam, so I don't even know if I can play it anymore. But, like, literally it was the most impressive practice I've ever seen because it was he was challenged by Eric in a good way. But, yeah, the arm strength at 40, 41, whatever he was incredible. Joe might have him on distance, if I'm being honest with you. Joe might be able to throw it farther, but the RPMs are very close.
Nick Harris, former Star Telegram. Who are a couple of guys or position groups that you're looking forward to seeing in a live game environment tomorrow?
You know, I think the young linebackers get me excited. You know, I want to kind of see those guys play a little bit, you know. And when I say young guys, it's not just rookies. It's you know, first, second, you know, third-year players. The backs were beat up, but I still want to see these guys, you know, go. And whoever it is, it is. The tight ends. You know, they get me excited. Those are the first couple ones that popped into my mind. But there's really guys at every spot. And, again, we talked to the team this morning about, you know, number one, how amazing it is looking back. And I think it was like first day of the phase two when we could practice. It was like 70 days before the first real game. And so today the countdown tracker was set to one because we actually play a live football game tomorrow. And so there's going to be some, you know, really great film and learning opportunities and maximize the opportunity. We talked about that. Like, you know, you're getting evaluated on everything you do, how you come off the field in terms of and make the adjustments and how dialed in you are when you're talking to the coaches and we're making adjustments. So there's guys at every spot that, again, we will be, you know, excited to see how they respond, not just to the environment, but to the overall flow of a game.
We've seen Elijah Clark get some burn number one. Zion Childress had a good play with the one yesterday. When a guy comes in undrafted, how can they earn the trust so fast to be put in this situation?
Do right. You know, just do right longer. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time. The standard's the standard. And both those guys have done a great job of, you know, picking up the things. And they spend extra time in the meetings. They ask great questions when you're sitting in the defensive meetings and you're listening to the guys and the DB meetings. Like, you know, both Zion and Elijah ask great questions. Zion actually just beat Kropp in a basketball competition this morning. So he's probably on cloud nine right now because he beat Kropp on a buzzer beater. But, you know, to me it's when guys come in, you just know, like, this, they get it. Like, this is a business, and I want to make the Dallas frickin' Cowboys. And to do that, man, I gotta do something special, and that's work my ass off and don't take any days off and ask questions and compete so hard in everything I do. And those are two guys that have done that, along with many, many, many others.
Tommy Yarge, DallasCowboys.com. Dak was talking about yesterday how he's seen Joe grow with his internal time clock and getting the ball out. Where have you seen Joe take those steps in the mental getting the ball out part? What are you going to need to see in the next three or so weeks that'll show you that he's on track to keep progressing?
I think Dak's dead on, and Joe knows that. You know, Joe's the ultimate competitor. Joe's a 6'5", 235, 38-pound guy. So the competitive nature in him is to stand back there and rip, you know, piss missiles at people. And literally in walkthrough, our guys are like, dude, please stop. Like, stop. It's a walkthrough. And he'll throw some fastballs. But the last 2 days, I would say, has been his two best days of understanding the time clock. And the way we kind of do it, you know, is we tie it to their feet. So the best quarterbacks in the world, they listen to their feet because their feet tell them when to eliminate your progressions and when to get to your outlet or when you actually have to take off and run. So you literally talk about listening to your feet. And when I say that, I'm talking about, okay, my first hitch tells me I've got a little bit of time. That second hitch happens, you're like, okay, I got to do something now because I've used up my time clock's going. And the last 2 days, I would say he's been much, much better. It'll be interesting to see when the bullets are flying live tomorrow how he does.
Young quarterbacks to get that down. Is that something that you've seen kind of stretch and vary between different guys over the years?
I'm a huge footwork guy, so I think, you know, Tommy, when you talk about it, it's like that is the hardest thing to figure out, because, you know, and that's what I hate about 7-on-7. Because 7-on-7, there's no time clock. Like, you can still do it, but you don't feel it. Like, you know, shoot, I'll say this about Dak. The last two practices, yesterday's practice, I thought he did an incredible job of finding the check down. But, like, whether you go back to the young quarterbacks I've been around, Sam Bradford, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, you know, Andrew wasn't young when I had him, but, like, there's a learning curve. And that I think that's what takes them so much time, is when to eliminate a progression. Because when you have a progression, I'm going from right to left, you know, I'm starting with Garrett and I'm working all the way over here to Calvin. It's like sometimes you lock in on those things, but there is a time clock that you have to feel and instinctively take over. And it takes a little while.
That was the Brian Schottenheimer press conference right before the Cowboy game gets rolling tomorrow right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we talk with Wings GM and Executive Vice President Kurt Miller next on The Fan. Welcome back to the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Jake's off of Marsh and Walnut Hill. Come swing on by and get your opportunity to, you can win some tickets to a Rangers game. We got a couple of them for the Astros Rangers on September 7th. You could also win a Jake's baseball jersey, and there's so much more. Come on out. You still got plenty of time, and also happy hours from 3 to 6 today, Fred, so enjoy that while you're out here.
It's getting close.
But right now it is time to talk with Wings Executive Vice President and GM Kurt Miller. Kurt, how are we doing today, sir?
I am good. Happy to join you guys.
I saw Paige shooting some mid-court shots in the shoot-around. Are we going to see her against the Liberty?
Yeah, I think it'd be a game-time decision. Obviously, still dealing with a little bit of a tight back that spasmed on her the other day, but she's been undergoing a lot of treatment. I thought she looked good in shoot-around, but certainly a game-time decision tonight.
Would you say that she has been everything as advertised coming out of the draft?
It's been incredible. Obviously, everybody knew about the generational talent, the leadership, and how she carried that, the pressure and the legacy building opportunity to go out a champion at UConn. But it is unbelievable to be able to work with her every day and be around her and watch what she's doing in her rookie year, not only statistically, but leadership-wise. And what I really appreciate behind the scenes that the fans don't is just the dedication to talk about the future with us, with me, directly, how we are partnering and talking about this unprecedented free agency that we're coming up upon. And just, you know, hearing how she views helping in her role develop teams. It's just, she is a once-in-a-lifetime, and we're very fortunate to have her in Dallas.
Well, and the trade deadline has come and gone. You guys, y'all made a couple of moves here that that look like they're for the future. Can you kind of give me an idea of what then that vision, you know, you just said partnership with her in the future there, what that vision entails with some of the players y'all have now and what you're hoping down the road looks like?
Yeah, I think the entire year has kind of played into this as we, you know, lean into a 26 free agency minus the players that are on rookie contracts, which in our league is their first 4 years, almost the entire league. There's two veterans in our league that have contracts beyond this year. So our entire league of veterans are going to become free agents. And wow. So it's a unique year in terms of GMing around the league more than ever, because we're all trying to position ourselves as we get into this unprecedented free agency. So our year, you know, has been disappointing in terms of win losses and certainly the adversity that we have faced, especially with injuries early on. We started out 1-4, not unusual. We had the hardest schedule out of the gate with Minnesota twice in the first three games. But after game five is when the injuries really started to take our toll on our players. We've played, I think we've now passed the 80-game mark of games missed by players with injuries or a couple players that had to leave for Euro basketball requirements in the middle of the season. And so we've had to take a really hard look and And while we are still committed to winning and growing, we've had an unbelievable opportunity to play a lot of our young players. For the first time in 25 years, we are the first team who started four rookies, and we did that for a significant stretch, getting some of our rookies unbelievable game experience in this year. Unfortunately, when we're dealing with a lot of players in and out with injuries and missed time, which has all contributed to the future. And so these latest moves before the trade deadline, we had to ask ourselves very candidly behind the scenes, well, what are the chances of re-signing these veterans? And if not, could it be valuable to acquire future assets, younger players that we would have control of their contracts? And so really difficult for me, who drafted Dejanay Carrington, went after, made her a priority in a trade in the offseason, a great relationship, you know, with her. It was difficult to make the decision to trade her, but the opportunity to acquire a player that we would have control for a couple years and a future asset, understandably, you know, eyes were on the future in that decision, knowing the talent that Dejanay, you know, can bring. So looked at it, and Cheryl and I are really close, working on the Olympic team together and through the years, arch rivals. But we looked at it as a win-win in where both our franchises were this season, and taking a little different approaches to the end of the season.
Kurt, Fred Davis here. Glad to have you on the show today. I mean, look, let's call it what it is. You've been in the WNBA now for a decade. It's been a hellacious year in terms of growth, eyeballs, and just how this game continues to grow. That being said, we've also had some other things that you guys have had to deal with as well, obviously with the things being thrown on the court that you guys have had to deal with for the last month or so. As disappointed as I'm sure you are with kind of the unfortunate novelty that this thing's become and the distraction that's become, is there a way to turn kind of this, you know, this recent spat of new eyeballs into something more positive?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm one of those people that have been in women's basketball for 35 years, 24 years at the D1 level, now over a decade in the WNBA. And, you know, I beat the drum for a long time. If we got new eyes on our game, if we got new people through the turnstiles into our game, we would hook them with the product. The product has been really good for a long time, just needed more people to recognize it and see it. And so with this growth and certainly, you know, starting, you know, Caitlin Clark, a big part of it, Paige Beckers, a big part of it, Angel Reese and some of the, you know, younger, newer players with their incredible collegiate fan bases following them now more than ever to the WNBA, we have seen unprecedented TV ratings, unprecedented people in the stands, you know, so there's a lot of positive. But with that, you know, obviously now there's new things, and it's social media and the negativism and the, you know, obviously all fan bases want to win. We are dealing with, you know, a fan base that's disappointed and wants us to turn this around quickly. But there's obviously building steps in, you know, professional basketball, both in the NBA and the WNBA. And we have an incredible opportunity to, again, potentially have an incredible draft pick next year. We've added draft assets over the next 2 years. And so, you know, I think with growth, you know, you probably have some unintended consequences that we didn't know we were going to go through. But I beat on the drum for 35 years about how good this sport is. And it's fun to see sold out arenas night in and night out, the fan bases, the TV viewership. It's only going to get better from here.
Kurt, one of the, my one criticism as I've been watching throughout this year, and it's been an absolute blast, by the way, it seems like offense can come, but it seemed like there was some scrambling defensively and kind of still trying to get that all together. Is that a simple fix of talent, or is that something that's like, look, they just have to work together more and we'll figure out how to be a good defensive team together?
Yeah, certainly, you know, my time in the league, as I came into the league, was really known in my own coaching circles as an offensive coach, but where I really hung my hat in the WNBA was we ended up with just an elite defensive team through the years, especially that Connecticut crew. And one of the things that, you know, it happened through experience, and it happened with incredibly talented veteran defenders. So, you know, it takes some growing. I remember coaching Courtney Williams and J.J., you know, Jonquel Jones, and some of the young players in that first draft class of mine. And to see where they are defensively now in the league after years and years and years compared to where they were their rookie years with their head spinning, you know, players naturally get better at the type of defenses that are necessary in the WNBA. I think you're going to see our young players, you know, certainly grow at the defensive end, but it's a little bit slower, you know, certainly. And then there's just no practice time in our league. You know, yeah. Our cadence of games, our injuries, we're always worried about load management. Our load management in our league is more often in practice than it is in games, because we don't have the amount of games the NBA has. And so it's not easy to clean up all the defensive adjustments and defensive growth, because the intensity and duration of practices are so limited in our league. But you hit it on the head. That's where we have really had a weakness this year. You know, I believe in Nola Henry. She's the voice of the defense in games. Obviously, Chris came with an incredible defensive background as a voice of defenses, you know, some of the best defenses in WNBA in recent years. But it's going to take them some time. But clearly, that's the frustration end, as the offense has really, really continued to improve. In fact, the other night in New York, we executed offensively the second most uncontested shots that we've had all year. Now, we need to make more of those uncontested shots that we executed to. I think the players will tell you, damn, I had a lot of open shots. But the offense is, you know, really, really starting to come around. But the defensive end, there's still a lot of work ahead of us.
It is the Wings Inspiring Women Weekend tonight against the Liberty at 6:30, and you got the Mystics at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Tickets are going to be available at DallasWings.com. Kurt, thank you very much for your time today, and we're all pulling for them here in the DFW area.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the support, and come out this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, there he goes, Kurt Miller, Executive Vice President and GM of your Dallas Wings. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the time that everybody's been waiting for, because they didn't get it last week, Fred.
Didn't.
We did not get it last week. It is time for Masterpiece of the Week.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen.
Alec, there are kids in this place right now.
Well, they're about to be educated. Concerned. It's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
Oh, no.
This is the time of the week that we revisit some things that everybody on this program says they're wild, wacky, and oftentimes very concerning, and I don't even know if that's PG. We'll get to that here in just a moment. I do have a couple carryovers from last week, too, because, you know, Micah Parsons decided to drop a social media bomb, and we had to scrap the segment. But gentlemen, we often have traditions here, and traditions include picking on people that are not here.
That's
to
true.
Defend themselves, and one of those people today is Gavin Dawson. I just like how astute this point is.
Well, I'm going to talk about Nico, and I think he's a doo-doo head.
You know what, I did
summarize it.
I did just point out there are kids here, and that's definitely in their vernacular.
You say doo-doo head.
I use doo-doo head all the time. Poopy head is one of those that gets thrown out there. And you know what? I appreciate Dawson for keeping that clean, you know, keeping that PG for us.
I do too. What a pro.
You gave him instructions?
I gave him directions. Driving directions.
Oh, okay.
He's driving to Kansas City.
I thought you were saying, like, you were instructing him on how to do radio.
Only
and I was like, this is impressive.
Head,
yeah,
Dawson.
I love it.
Only use doo-doo head.
A very dark turn from Mickey Spagnuolo last week.
We're going to have to get a new mascot because Rowdy was dead.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, that's right.
Jane Slater didn't bring that up.
They were on a bus, and there was like a fire and a wreck on the bus, and everybody was like, it was being reported as if everybody died, and some reporters were involved, and Rowdy, they were like, and Rowdy could be dead, and that was the concern.
Man.
But you're right, Alec, that did sound very dark. We lost our good friend.
It's just so dark. And the way he says it with authority, because he was dead.
Because he was dead.
But Kevin Hagelin is still on his excursion to Germany. And that means we do have to play at least one thing that he said before he left last week.
And then do you have a fun tight end?
Okay.
I do.
Oh. Explain.
I played tight end in high school. Mm-hmm. And because we were a run blocking team, Fred.
Yeah.
We were one of those teams.
Ran the beer.
Yeah, kinda. I don't know if we were good at it, but yeah, the wing offense a little bit, I played center.
Yeah.
And our tight end got hurt and they were like, "We're not throwing the ball.
No.
Put Majors out there at tight end and we're gonna be an awesome blocking with the Coreys." It was my tackle was named Corey also.
Okay.
And so we would just plow over people. He's listening right now, as a matter
of fact.
And
you're a fun guy.
I'm a fun guy. And it was an absolute blast. And then there was the moment where I was standing in the end zone, hands wide open, nobody around me within like 20 yards. And the quarterback looked at me and said, and ran out of bounds.
Mm.
And I asked him at school, the next Monday, I was like, "Why didn't you throw it?" He said, "Coach said if I ever throw to you, I'll never play again." And I was like, "All right."
Is the coach listening right now?
Nope. Mm. Nope. Oh. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, you don't sound upset about that.
He didn't love me too much.
Apparently not.
But it's all right.
All right, since we had Fred Davis on the show this week, that means we definitely have some injuries from him because, you know, he says things, and this was one of them.
Get your planet out of my mouth.
Did you say planet?
Yeah.
I said planet.
Your whole planet?
I said planet.
What was the planet doing
what
there?
What were we talking about?
It was if the 7 Mile spaceship.
Yes, that's right.
Flew over.
If Will Smith, what would Will Smith say to the planet? Yeah.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Independence Day.
Yeah.
Keep planet up.
I'm starting to remember some of these that I grabbed, and I'm scared. Let's see. Corey, I know that Kevin kind of introduced this. I introduced it with Bassick. Because he would make a lot of random noises that just didn't make sense. And now Kevin wants to continue that tradition, and good for him, you continued it with this one.
It looks like he just swings it from his belly button and just kind of... It's the sound effects that Alec loves so much.
It's all about the sound effects.
And that was Jock Peterson. I don't know, dude. Watch Jock Peterson.
I watched him the next night because you said that.
He has that one. He just kind of pulls the...
You said that on Tuesday, and I was paying attention.
And
so,
you saw it. You know what I'm talking about.
It absolutely was.
Let's see. We're getting into uncharted territory here. This is Corey and Fred. You guys combined for this.
Hey, I got too much. Let me pump it and put it into some buckets or some 877-881-1053
if you've got too much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. We were talking about the ice cream.
What ice cream?
I do believe.
That's
and
right.
You know what? I was talking with my wife about that ice cream. I said, "Hey, guess what flavor ice cream's out
there?"
And she immediately knew.
She knew. Dude, it's
and
taking,
I was like,
the, oh,
did you know this? And she was like, "No, I didn't know. I could just guessed." And I was like, "You're kidding me right now." But she was like, "This is a genius idea."
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess there are people out there really love that idea.
Well,
by the way, remember I told you that my buddy pranked me with that in a shot glass one night.
You did. Yes.
His son texted me and we were chatting and I was like, "By the way, it was your mom that did that to me." And he was like, "Jesus." and he was like that. I said, "I hope that's not TMI." And he said, "No, it's hilarious." And I said, "I appreciate that."
By the way, the breast milk ice cream is still out of stock.
Oh man! Oh,
yeah,
man.
I bet you did check right off the wake up, huh? No.
Well, I just checked it now. Blake checked it last night, so I knew I was okay then. So I checked it just now. Still out of stock.
Yeah, if you're checking that website at 11 o'clock at night, we need to have a conversation.
I'm gonna do it at 12:01 tonight because obviously it's every midnight.
And then I'm gonna tag the FBI in your next Twitter post.
Oh my gosh!
But Fred, you had a different idea—not ice cream, but this.
That's wonderful. I would make a protein shake with breast milk.
Dude, you know, that one slipped right by me, but that sounds like a great idea. You got all sorts of nutrients.
Who wouldn't enjoy that?
Is there protein in it already? I feel
there has to be.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Like, how these kids getting muscles if they don't have the protein?
Smoothie King's doing ketchup-flavored smoothies.
Gross.
What would you rather drink? A breast milk-flavored smoothie?
Yes, absolutely.
Or a ketchup-flavored smoothie?
Yeah, give me the breast milk.
It's a no-brainer.
Huh. Okay. Marking that one. This is the part where I get scared. Fred, you said this.
I'm here to see dongs, people. Mm-hmm. Pause.
Yep. He meant home runs. He meant dingers.
See? You can tell I live it. Look, I'm a G-bagger, okay? What can I say?
Yeah, that is that happened in real life, right. And I was there for it.
And Corey, you thought you were safe. You're going to be the final entrant for today. You said this, and context is very important at times.
But I can call it the magic wand sometimes in the bedroom.
Wow.
Oh. Huh.
Guys. Jeez. You know what? It is kind of amazing that we have been on radio as long as we have.
Confirm that you do call it the magic
wand. That's not, it wasn't what we were talking about. I know where you're going with that, but it's pretty amazing that we've been able to accomplish this and be the most listened to midday show in DFW along the way. Thank you, Tolos.
Talk about your magic wand. I mean, why wouldn't you be?
For making sure that happens. All right, it is time to vote. I was very excited to hear that Fred was there for that.
Yeah.
But the way that Mickey delivered Rowdy's death,
I'm going with the magic wand.
We're going to have to get a new mascot because Rowdy was dead.
Because Rowdy was dead. Jeez. That's the one for me. And you went with
a magic wand.
But I can call it the magic wand sometimes.
Okay.
In the bedroom.
Wow.
Oh. Huh. I really like the hump by Fred at the end. And I think that's why I'm going to vote for it.
Corey,
you're the winner.
It's been a
Corey's
while.
Corey's magic wand.
But I call it the magic wand sometimes.
Okay.
In the bedroom.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't have to. All right. Thank you very much, Alec. That was fantastic work, especially since you had to scramble from last week.
Yeah.
And you know what? So far, haven't seen another bomb get dropped yet. So maybe they're still working on that negotiating. Thank you very much to Jakes for having us out here. We're about to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation next on The Fan. We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Jake's in Dallas. We're right here off of Walnut Hill and Marsh Lane. And we're about to turn things over to the fellas from the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how are we doing back there?
Man, we're doing fantastic. It's a happy 75th Whataburger Anniversary Friday here in the G-Bag Nation, so life is good. We tried the brand new Double Bacon Wrangler Burger today, Corey. It was truly outstanding.
Told you.
Perhaps changed my life forever. You did tell me you waved your magic wand and that thing appeared, and it was so damn delicious.
Thank you. I appreciate the wand conversation and the fact that, you know, I was telling people that burger was coming out a while back, and then it started to deliver, and I'm proud of that.
If you were in Star Wars, would you be Wand Solo?
Probably so. Yeah, that's my favorite character. I know a lot of people like Luke Skywalker and Vader and everything. I always thought Han was a cool dude, so I'll go with Wand Solo. I appreciate that.
You know what I appreciate about Star Wars is like the bloopers with like the stormtroopers that couldn't see.
Yes.
And like they're running into each other and they're hitting the walls. You know, I think George Lucas, man, the guy's like a billionaire now.
Yeah,
he was just creating chaos.
Yeah.
Like he's like, hey, listen, put these really dark helmets on and run around like, you know, we're on alert and then run into each other. And, you know, I think that's the best part of Star Wars myself. The fact that
shoot some laser beams and bump into each other.
You could see like the wires holding the, you know, we're just the technology. Now, if you go back and watch that today, that's kind of like, it's unbelievable how
it was
stupid
cutting edge technology.
Yeah, back
at
then
the
it
time.
Was. The sound. He got us with the sound. He figured out like how to turn it up as loud as possible and make your seat shake. I almost said something really bad there for a second.
Easy, Broadus. Easy.
Almost said something bad there. But it was like it was noise and that, was it the Dolby sound thing?
Yeah, or THX. Something
Lucas,
like, I think,
Lucas sound. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was
in that. He's in his bag.
Yeah, right now, what I've found to be kind of funny is on TikTok and Instagram is the AI Star Troopers. They're behind the scenes, like what they're doing whenever Darth Vader's off, you know, chasing something down, and how I have to deal with this idiot on the bike today, and it really cracks me up with those guys. Guys, we got a game tomorrow night. You guys are on the pre and post game show. What are we feeling as we get ready for tomorrow? How are we looking?
I thought Kyle Yeomans came on and talked about some good things.
Good.
I am looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with – I'm more interested in the wide receivers. And I think behind the names of Pickens, Lamb, and Turpin.
Okay.
Because I don't think that wide receiver – I think that Turpin is – it's just going to be about the numbers. I'm not saying, okay, who's going to be the third or who's going to be the fourth. I'm just saying about the numbers because I don't know. Are you going to be able to carry six because of some injury stuff? Are you going to have to carry five? But I just don't think there is a clear-cut number four on this team right now.
Okay.
And I consider Turpin, the way that they use him in all the different ways, he is going to be the if it's the number of wide receivers, he's number three for me. Not of how he's playing or anything like that. How I think they're going to use him. So on the team, don't worry about it. The rest of these cats, we're fighting for our lives right now. And I think there's going to be some guys that maybe get put on the street. And I'm not going to be Stephen Jones and say, boy, this is the toughest cut we've ever had to make, you know, that kind of thing. Because we all as personnel guys say that every single time. Oh, man, this was a tough cut. No, it's not. These guys cut themselves in the second week of camp when they didn't show up, like, you know, for 2-3 days. That's when guys cut themselves. They're, you know, when you release a player, you look at him like, well, hey, we're, you know, everybody goes, oh, we're going to move in a different direction. No, you cut yourself. Because you didn't. Mozzie Smith. I mean, and Kyle was very, very much talking about Mozzie Smith.
Yep.
Mozzie Smith has not done anything to make you feel like that he's like Tyler Guyton. Mozzie Smith and Tyler Guyton were kind of in the same boat. Like Will McClay said, we need to get players that love football, that care about football. And you know, Tyler Guyton all of a sudden started caring about football. Mozzie Smith, unfortunately, I think football is very difficult for him. I think he's not having fun playing football. And I think Mossy Smith's looking for a way out.
If I could wave my Corey Majors magic bedroom wand over this roster,
right,
it would be that Mozzie Smith becomes an All-Pro.
Same, yeah. You know what? I got a wand.
Love to see that.
Yeah,
I would absolutely love to see that. But
me too.
But we're in a situation right now. We're in a situation where you're kind of like, you know, there's some guys that had. I think that Damone Clark was in the same boat. You're at the crossroads right now. You're looking at either going right, you're going to the work in Jacksonville or Tennessee or some other team's going to take you, or you're going to take the path left and stay here and fight for a roster spot.
I just don't Mozzie know that just has have it. A big enough wand yeah. to make Mozzie Smith a better player.
It's tough, man.
Is it a lift thing?
That's one dirty. Right now that, you know, Stephen Jones talked about it at the media gathering the other night. He says there's things that we have to wear. There's things that they're wearing that one. Will McClay. Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, Dan Quinn.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, Dan Quinn's somewhere else. He's like, it ain't my problem anymore.
Yeah, he's laughing to the bank.
Okie doke the team. Do you think that happened? Is that what's going on there?
Do you think he okie doke the playoffs?
It was his big plan.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he knew I'm out of here in a year? Let's see, Mozzie Smith character.
Let's see if Mozzie Smith does get released and if Dan Quinn picks him up.
Yeah.
That'll be your sign. Right there.
What do you fellas got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
Pure gold as always. Yes. Corey, thanks so much for asking. We have Todd Archer live from Oxnard in the 4 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. And of course, what you drinking, what you thinking, 5 o'clock. And then Eric Nadel. It's going to be a party, man.
There it is. There's five potentially flawless hours.
No, it'll be flawless.
Could be flawed. We don't know, but it'll be beautiful is what I'm looking forward to with the G-Bag Nation. You got them for the rest of the day. And also, we got to thank Jake's for having us out here, man. This
amazing.
Is amazing food. And, you know, we got more locations for Fan Phenom. Fred, 100%. Thank you, sir, for being with me
always
today.
Pleasure.
We'll have you a couple times
more
next
times,
week, man.
Corey, and you're
Let's
rid
rock
of me.
This thing. No, I'm really happy to have you around. All right, coming up next, it is the G-Bag Nation. Until then, you've been masterpieced.